Captain Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hello, food fans. Chef Cal here inviting you to come gather around the table with us tonight at 5 p.m. for an exciting time of sharing timing tricks and tempting morsels of culinary insights to help you expand your home meal menus and impress your family and friends. We've got flavor, food, and culinary facts right here on Cooking Like a Pro on KCNR Radio.
DaveMilitary.com.
Heard on great radio stations all across America. It's the National Defense.
Welcome to the National Defense, made possible by Ford, by the Home Depot, by T-Mobile, by Prevagen, and by the Wounded Warrior Project.
Well, everybody's talking about the 50th anniversary of Saturday Night Live, and we wanted to celebrate as well. We're going to talk to many of the cast members about their recollections of the show and what they're doing now. It only happens this week, right here on the National Defense.
Ladies and gentlemen, Billy Crystal!
And you know him from his work, primarily at WMUL. And Just Jazz. It's the legendary Billy Crystal. Did you have a little jazz patter that you did on the show?
I was 18 years old, so I tried to have. This was at Marshall University in Huntington, West Virginia. And the station was in the basement of the one of the buildings there. And I tried to have a jazzy kind of FM sound. Right. I was 18.
Right.
You know, so basically my voice was sort of
right. You didn't have the, hey, it's time for a little.
No, and they didn't have a good library of jazz records. they had like Roy Clark records, and who was a great country western star, but not a jazz guy. So I was able to have some friends send down some albums so you could play Miles Davis or Dizzy or someone.
Had to bring your dad's records. You know, that's a lot like a lot of the radio stations I worked for. You bring in your own records.
Yeah.
That's a way that starts. Billy, the new movie here today with Tiffany Haddish. This is so fascinating to me on a number of different levels. First of all, you wrote and directed it. Is this the movie that's going to bring people back to the theaters? Starts this week in theaters only.
I sure hope so. It's something for a family to experience, I think, and that's why we held it. We didn't sell it to streamers if they when they came bidding for it, and then out of the blue, Sony Pictures came in and said we believe in this. Theaters are going to open up someday, and we want this to be the thing that can bring especially Mother's Day weekend coming.
Yeah,
up.
Yeah,
that families can experience, and this is something to take moms to and see a very funny and beautiful story.
Yeah, and you play a legendary comedy writer that is losing your memory, and also that it's so appealing to me because it's that romantic notion of comedy writers getting together. I had the opportunity one time. I don't know if you know the guy, Ronnie Schell. Ronnie Schell was a comedy writer in Hollywood, and they used to meet at Jerry's Deli. And he gave me the chance one time to sit in with those guys, and it was just it was like a band. It was like a rehearsal of a band. It was just so cool.
Yeah, I had that experience not only with my friends, you know, but about 3 years ago, I'd say, Phil Rosenthal, who created Everybody Loves Raymond, we were good friends, and he said, you know, I'm going to put together these luncheons every Monday, and I'd love you to be a part of it. I said, who's coming? He said, Carl Reiner, Norman Lear. Oh. I said, stop. You had me at Carl and Norman Lear, Neil Simon, Larry Gelbart, who was a genius and became a very close friend. And so those, you sit there, you know, and you're at the kids' table, you know,
right,
with them. And
right.
They were so generous and so, it was like sitting at the Mount Rushmore, you know, of comedy and just, you know, eating gassy food together.
Right? Well, yeah, Tiffany Haddish, what a brilliant stroke that was to have her involved in the movies. She plays a subway singer and gets together with you because she wins an auction, that she bids on this auction and gets to have lunch with you. And I just wonder, once you got to know Tiffany and know her style and her way of speaking and everything else, did you have to change much of the dialogue to fit her?
Yeah, well, you know, that happens when you start rehearsing and you start, you know, trying to get comfortable with it. This is what I'd love you to say, but find your way into it. And, you know, we'll meet somewhere in the middle. But the text is really good. And Alan Zweibel and I, who my co-author, really tailored it for her once she said yes. But, you know, she's a brilliant person. Right. And, she just made it her own and did what I really hoped that she would do, which was just stretch into this part and do something she hadn't really done before. And she's just luminescent in the movie, I think.
Yeah, I mean, she just pops everywhere. Everything that she does, she just pops. And it's just a great combination between you guys. Let's talk about the movies for just a second. You know, you had the lowest rated Oscars in 1,000 years, whatever, this past Oscars. You hosted the highest rated Oscars. And just to give people an idea, the lowest rated Oscars got 9 million. You hosted and one of your performances got 58 million people. Do we ever get back to that?
I don't think so. But just because of the nature of how we watch things now.
Right.
You know, in the years that I did it, I did it 9 times. It was a lot of it was pre-social media. A lot of it was pre-cell phone. And it was different. People sat and watched together, you know, and we were on most of the time Monday nights. And one of the thrills of it, once we started doing these elaborate openings, was people would leave work early to come home to watch the show. That was right. Always a great feeling for me. But I just think we, you know, people, they'll watch clips on YouTube now. Everyone's attention span is so small. And during this incredibly difficult time, you know, you have to question whether they should have even had the show.
Right.
Because people are still on food lines. People still aren't well. We're not through this thing yet.
Right.
And so do people really want to see millionaires give each other gold statues? I don't know. So that, and if you're going to have this show, have much more entertainment.
Right.
than I think was in this year. They tried hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's as much as I think I want to say.
Bring back Billy Crystal as host.
Well, I'm not the only. It's also the movies this year were beautiful, but they were small scale movies,
right?
And all of them streamed, and so that's a limited menu for people. Do I want to see this? Do I want to see that? So, as good as the movies were, and I think there were some really fine films. They weren't big audience pleasers, and that's why I'm thrilled that we're in a theater, because this is a, in a way, a, you know, a throwback to what the movies can be.
Is there any line in the movie where you say, I like eggs?
No. I
really like eggs.
No.
What a great character that was.
We had a lot of fun with, at different times my career. I broke shoulders with some unusually amazing people, and sometimes I just sit there and go, wow, that was something.
You know? Hey, you played for the Yankees. Come on.
Yes, I did.
Yes, yeah. You did.
That was still, talking about the Oscars, that was thrilling for me every year. But being the DH, the designated Hebrew for the New York Yankees in 2008, I'm a great trivia question. Who's the oldest Yankee to ever have an at-bat? It would be me at 59 years old.
And you made contact.
I did. I fouled a ball down the right field line.
Yeah, right.
Off the Pittsburgh Pirates, Paul Mahalem. And I was really scared, Randy, because someone yelled, double! When I hit it, and I said, no. If I get the second, I'd have to stop twice to pee. So that was the thrill of my life, was being a New York Yankee. Well, something I always wanted to do, and George Steinbrenner and Bud Selig made it happen.
Let's talk about baseball for a second. You noticed my Kansas City Royals.
I saw. Is there an autograph on top of that?
There is.
An
autograph? The legendary George Brett. The legendary George.
The greatest.
Yeah. And so what do you think now about the Houston Astros.
Come on now.
I'm sorry.
Come on now.
Sorry.
Well, I feel okay because the Yankees just beat him twice, and I think they're
going to get. Yeah. The Yankee, you know, the great thing about the Yankee fans, they always are very reserved.
Yeah.
I mean, they just hold back.
Hey, the Astros, did a bad thing. And it'll forever be a stain on baseball and on them. It was a terrible thing, but you got to move on. But Yankee fans are great fans,
right?
And hey, it happens here in LA when the Houston played the Dodgers too.
Right.
So it was bad for all of baseball.
It was, and you talk about in your book, Billy, the difference between 60 and 65 is huge. The difference between 30 and 40 is huge. I went to Royals Dream Week when I was 30. I thought I could start, maybe, for the day. When I was 40, I spent so much time in the trainer's room. We're going to turn out the lights. You got to go. I mean, man, what a huge, and what a great book.
Thank you. It's called Still Fooling Them.
Yeah.
And you know what? For servicemen around the world, you can get it, the audio book. Actually, that year won the audio book of the year. And it's the only time I'll ever beat Meryl Streep in something.
It was.
we were nominated against each other and Bryan Cranston. And so I did it with a lot of it with a live audience. So it felt like the comedy albums that I grew up listening to when I was a kid. So
that was cool.
Thanks.
That was cool. Yeah, and you're right. You know, I mean, we used to gather at people's houses and you'd get your George Carlin albums. You'd get your, and everybody would listen at the same time. And that's what that book felt like to me. So that was a cool idea. Has anybody else done that?
I don't know. Oh. I don't know. There have been live books of concert performances that I think they turned into them. But, this was, the first time that had been done.
What's some great movies? The City Slickers, The Princess Bride, Analyze This, of course. And When Harry Met Sally, in particular, for me, because I used to do just a regular daily morning show on the radio. And so when I was doing one in Kansas City, we took the fake orgasm scene and took it out to a diner, a crowded diner for breakfast, and had our news person named Kimberly Ray act it out, and she was fantastic. And so, I mean, just that scene alone, and I talked to Rob Reiner about that when he was on the show. What a fantastic situation that was, huh?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole situation was great. It was came at the perfect time in my career. Meg and I were just starting to do movies. And a great script, amazing director, New York in the fall. Nora Ephron on the set with us every day. The great Bruno Kirby and Carrie Fisher also.
Right.
And incredibly, you know, just perceptive script. And you never know. You never know when you're making something how right. it's good. You just don't know. And no one starts out to make a bad movie, you know. So we just didn't know. It was basically the two of us talking and going through real experiences that now 32 years later, wow. it still feels fresh to people.
Yeah.
And it still works and it's still provocative.
I would say that all of your films feel, I mean, City Slickers,
I tell you, Randy, this is a crazy year for me. It's the, we just had the 20th anniversary of 61, a movie I directed right. about Roger Maris and Mickey Mantle on HBO. So they ran it the other day, April 28th, which was our 20th anniversary. It's the 30th anniversary of City Slickers in June.
Wow.
And in the fall, it's the 20th anniversary of Monsters, Inc., which is crazy to me. Wow. And then someone pointed out yesterday to me, it's the 35th anniversary of a movie I really love called Running Scared.
Oh, yeah.
Which I did with Gregory Hines. And that was sort of like my first real entree into the movie world.
You got a lot of cakes this week.
Crazy.
Running Scared, that was Rob Reiner too, right?
No, that was the director, is a great friend named Peter Hyams.
Oh, okay. But you've done...
No, Rob, I did. Rob is Final Tap, Princess Bride, One Harry Met Sally. So one line is Final Tap.
uncredited, right? Bride.
Yeah, 20 lines in Princess Bride and then Harry and Sally.
Well, I can't wait for Here Today. I mean, it's a perfect... I love the title, too, because it says so much. I think, you know, when you talk about, especially, and I think we've all had people in our lives that where dementia is setting in or has set in, and that title to me here today says more about celebrate now kind of a thing.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. And for Charlie, you know, the character, he's functioning. He's functioning as best he can. He still works. He's still involved with this Saturday Night Live kind of show. He's still sharp. It's getting, you know, more intrusive in his memory and his mind, but he fights through it. And it's because of the love of a friend, a new friend who Tiffany plays, that he's able to complete his life's journey and finish his book that he's been trying to do. So it's a really, I think, you know, it's a beautiful story. It's emotional. It's not sad, and I think there's a difference
right.
in that.
It's human, too, I think.
Very much so. Very much so.
Hey, Billy, thank you so much for the time. All right.
It was a lot of fun.
Billy, thank you so much. Have a great movie.
All right. All right. And change your hat. You need an NY on.
Right.
Take care.
Thank you. We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
With President's Day savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to 35% off select appliances like LG. Plus, save up to an extra $450 on select appliances. And with customizable kitchen packages, we make it easy to shop and swap for the features you want. Like the 3-door French door refrigerator with slow-melting round craft ice. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 35% off select appliances like LG, America's most reliable line of appliances. The Home Depot, how doers get more done. America's most reliable line of appliances per independent study. See store online for details. Minimum purchase required.
60 seconds of service.
This 60 seconds of service is presented by T-Mobile. T-Mobile offers exclusive discounts for veteran and military families and are proud supporters of the National Defense Network. Visit T-Mobile.com/military to learn more about how they support our military community. From the bustling streets of her hometown in Mexico to the demanding training grounds of the U.S. Army, Specialist Joanna Ramirez's journey began with a steadfast resolve to advance her future. Driven by the pursuit of better opportunities, she traveled from the Mexican border to the United States and enlisted in the U.S. Armed Forces. Now a student at the Latin Division of Kaiser University, she is one of the Latino veterans who contribute to our national security. According to USA Facts, Latinos comprised 18% of the Army's population, a statistic that Ramirez was a proud part of. Today's 60 Seconds of Service is brought to you by Prevagen. Prevagen is the number one pharmacist recommended memory support brand. You can find Prevagen in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere.
Diversity, equity, inclusion in our education system is poisoning young minds to hate America. As a professor of political science, I can assure you this toxic curriculum will destroy our country. I'm Nicholas Giordano, higher education fellow at Campus Reform, and I've had a front row seat to the anti-American push in our education system through DEI. DEI teaches that America is inherently racist and that oppression is ingrained. It encourages segregation, tribalism, and victimhood. It is the opposite of E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. We must root out this virus. We must reestablish an education system that teaches our national values and is not ashamed of American exceptionalism. We must teach the next generation to love this great country. The Leadership Institute's Campus Reform is exposing the DEI agenda in education, from history and language arts to the sciences and math. Visit campusreform.org to learn more. Restoring truth, correcting bias in education, one topic at a time. A series brought to you by the Leadership Institute and Radio America.
Welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller. And coming up next on our very educational program is a rising young comic star, very wholesome young man by the name of Jared. Jared, how are you this morning?
Oh, he's lying.
You know what? That name would not work for you. We're talking to Jay Farrow. Man, I am such a fan of you. I just watched your new special on YouTube called Jared, which is your real name, and which you're right. It just would not have worked for you, right?
No. There's nothing about me that says Jared, but you know, I think that's why I work so hard as Jay Farrow to mask that. And, you know, the metaphor here is now I'm comfortable. You know what I mean? Jared just means comfortability. Now I'm comfortable. Being comfortable enough to say that, you know what I mean? Hey, I'm Jared. Like, really? You're Jared? You don't look like a Jared. You don't get Jared vibes? No, I'm not calling you that. You know what I mean? But.
Oh, man. 6 years on SNL and just a master impressionist. I've just always been such a huge fan. How was your time at SNL, man? It just seemed like you brought something to that cast that nobody else could bring with your impressions. Just great stuff.
I mean, listen, SNL was a fun time. I mean, but you know, any job is like any job. You have good days, you got bad days, but you know, when the good outweighs the bad, you know, it's a great experience. And you know, I learned a lot on that show. I got a lot of different contacts and made different relationships that I've still been able to have over the years and cultivate. And, you know, it's great. And I'll be back. I'm going back for the 50th. You'll see me there. You know, I'll be there. You know, I got my invite already. You know what I mean? I got my hotel all set. I don't got the hotel set up yet, but I got my invite. You know what I mean?
That's cool.
I'm looking forward to it, brother.
I was just going to ask you about that. I mean, there's going to be so many surprises this season on SNL, and I'm glad that you are one of those. You know, after I see your show, you got to get a lot of emails from the Gen Zers, huh?
No, look, that's the thing, though. They'll look at me and be like, it's true. We are like that. But the jokes. But the jokes about Gen Z that I got them from the Gen Z told me that. This is not me judging. These are informants from the Gen Z generation. These are Gen Z informants that told me this stuff. So it's not just me punching down. It's just me regurgitating information that I have been given. I'm a Gen Z snitch. I'm snitching on y'all. This is what y'all do. But all in all, man, I mean, I know it seems and it seems like I'm punching down, but nah, man, I'm not. It's all in fun.
That's
right. It's all in fun.
That's right.
You know.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Can Washington, D.C. survive the next 4 years of Donald Trump? If the first 2 weeks are anything to go by. Perhaps not. Find out why on Liberty Nation Radio.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com. Podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Buster Poindexter is back because inflation is hot, hot, hot. The Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski. Every day, Chris helps unpack the connection between politics and the economy and how it affects your wallet. January inflation numbers have continued to climb, and the media has already found a way to pin this on Trump. We've done this to ourselves for a long period of time because inflation is not going away. Whether it's happening in D.C. or down on Wall Street, it's affecting you financially. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast with Chris Markowski on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you know? VA home loans are a key to home ownership for those who served.
My message to veterans, active duty, retired, is that really seriously look at the VA home loan program. I've done it 3 times now, so I'm a repeat customer. We found a house here that we felt be a great environment for our children to grow up in. It has been transformational to my family.
To learn more about VA home loans, visit va.gov/homeloans.
Everyone has a community, a neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do. Like when it comes to preventing underage drinking and other substance use, community members can be your eyes and ears when you're not with your kids and alert you to signs of potential problems. Learn more at talktheyhearyou.samhsa.gov.
Attention business owners. 3,076 businesses are shutting their doors every single day. There are 3 things holding you back from doubling your sales in the next 12 months. They are, number one, the Great Resignation. 47 million Americans voluntarily left their job last year. Your staff are harder to find than ever before. Number two, the Clutter Factor. 3.8 billion social media pages are competing for the attention of your prospects. No wonder they aren't listening to your marketing efforts. Number three, the Death of the Salesman. 97% of your prospects feel salespeople are too pushy today. Hello, I'm Amanda Holmes. I've just released an updated version of my father's cult classic book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you'd like to double your sales in the next 12 months, download a free chapter of the book at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book. Our clients call it the chapter that changes lives. Get your proven roadmap to doubling sales at ultimatesalesmachine.com/book.
Listen as students and young adults interview well-respected CEOs on our national radio show, RealWorldLeaders.org, to learn secrets for success and how to use them to propel their careers.
It's just really inspirational, the way Darlene looks at her job, the way she looks at leadership, and how she really just wants to help her family business. She really wants to, like, pass this on to the younger generations, and that's just an amazing way to view things.
Yeah. Do you think you have anything in common with Darlene?
She definitely seems like a people's person who likes talking to people a lot, and that's kind of what I see in her of myself.
So, Darlene, are there roles at Clemens Food Group for people like Lucia who are excellent communicators and want to help people out?
Absolutely. To hear more and to help us introduce your high school, GED, work ready, and college students to our CEOs, visit our website at realworldleaders.org. That's realworldleaders.org.
We're talking to Jake here at the National Defense and the special film at the Dent Theater in Chicago that's out now on YouTube. Chicago is just a great comedy town, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, I did it. I shot it a year ago at the Dent Theater. It was a lot of energy. You know, one of the best places in Chicago, Zany's. I got to give a shout out to Zany's Comedy Club. Zany's is great, and also the Improv in Schaumburg, you feel me? Like, the Improv in Schaumburg, the energy in there is crazy. I love it. It's always a good time, and when you hear 500-600 people cracking up,
right,
and they're and you feel that pop, there's nothing like it. It's addictive, man. So, yeah, I love Chicago, Illinois in general.
Stand-up comedy is, I mean, still one of my favorite things in the world to go to and go see. I was just in L.A. and went to see Patton Oswalt, and it was like Patton Oswalt and friends. And one of the friends was Paul Reiser. And there's nothing, man, there's nothing better than seeing somebody that you don't expect come out and just kill it in a stand-up. Do you like doing that kind of stuff? I mean, you know, not like surprising people with, you know, coming out.
Oh, hell yeah, man. It's nothing like when you go out and, you go out, you haven't even said anything.
Right.
And the crowd is losing they're losing their minds. And then you looking at them like, y'all shut the hell up because what I say might not even be funny. Just wait. Like, shut up, man. Just let me perform it. But the energy off top, it lets you know that you do matter in the culture. And that's all you want at the end of the day. You just want to be, everybody's striving to be a superstar, rock star. You know, comedians want to be rock stars. Rock stars want to be comedians.
Right.
But that energy cannot be felt. That energy is like it can't be duplicated, man. Like there's nothing like that. Even in New York, when I do pop-ins, I go to the cellar or wherever I go. Before I start talking, like they're cheering for like a minute and a half. Like it's just. It feels it's the most insane feeling. I'm like, hold on, y'all must think I'm Chappelle. Like,
oh, that's
it's
cool.
Different.
That's cool. We're talking to Jay Farrell here of the National Defense and his new comedy special, Jared, which is out on YouTube right now. So when Fox came to you and said, "Hey man, we got this thing called the Quiz with Balls. You want to host it?" What's that reaction like?
Not a good one, at first, I'll tell you that. There was, hey, can we change the name? There's so many other words, colloquialisms we can use for this. Come on, man. Do we have to say the quiz? Can we just say the picks or whatever? But then, man, I saw the check and I was like, yeah, okay, the quiz is all. Hosted by Jay Trey.
I'm the winner. That's right. I got to ask you something about you starred as JJ in the ABC live in front of a studio audience version of All in the Family and Good Times.
Yeah.
And I just got a quick story. So I was doing a morning show on the radio, and Jimmy JJ Walker was coming through, and he gets on, and we're talking about everything. And I, you know, at the end of it, I go, "Okay, man, if you can, you know, give me a little, hey, Randy Miller is dynamite." And he goes, $500.
Oh, no.
He goes $500. And I said, huh?
Oh, wow.
Huh? He's $500. I don't say dynamite for less than $500. I'm like, what? Huh?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And then he goes into like his political talk show career. And I'm going, who is this guy?
Who is this guy?
Yeah.
This ain't the man. This ain't Junior from Good Times. What's going on?
That's right. What happened?
Here's the thing. I will say this, man. And you know, when people come up to me, it's kind of same type of situation,
right?
But response is different. Like, people come up to me, "Hey man, you know, hey bro, can I get that Denzel or whatever?" You know, at first I was a little apprehensive to do it, but then you got to think, whatever, when somebody comes up to you and they're quoting what you're doing, you've given them a little joy in their life, right? So I would be remiss, and who am I to starve you from something that potentially saved you from a dark moment or got you through a time that was dark? Because as comedians, that's what we do. You know what I mean? Yeah. We give that light. So I have to, I gotta do it for you, man, because you know, if I don't, then, you know, you're going to go home and you'll be like, "Man, he was a butthole. He didn't want to do this." You know what I'm saying? Which maybe I was having it. Could have been having a day or whatever.
Right,
but
right.
You give people that, man. Because, look, everybody is a customer. Everybody. Mm. As an entertainer, you got to look at it. You got to look at it as everybody out here has a potential to come to your show. So if the food that you're giving out when they meet you tastes bad, well, guess what? They're not going to come back to the restaurant.
Right, right.
But if you got a good dish, you were positive, you know, you were smiling, you even took a picture with them.
Right.
Man, that means so much more. That means so much more to them. And then the word will spread that you're not a butthole, and then your business continues to grow.
Yeah.
It's all about the business, and you got to look at it from that aspect.
You're a smart
and
guy.
Not just somebody's coming up to me and they want me to do dynamite, and then, no, don't, you right. know, just, and to each his own, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not judging a man for charging for it. It's
right.
whatever.
Right.
But I'm saying, if you come up to me and you ask me something, man, I'm not going to be like, man, F you. I'm going to think about it in a different way. I'm going to use the other side of my brain,
yeah.
and I'm going to try to bring you in so that you're a forever fan and not just a microwavable one. You know what I mean?
We can catch him on Cameo. We're talking to Jay Farrell here on the National Defense. Hey, the other thing I want to get into is your Farrell Foundation. This is pretty cool, man. This is about scholarships, right?
Absolutely. So the Farrell Family Foundation is aimed towards kids who are pursuing college with the intent to study the arts, you know. So it doesn't matter what type of art it is. You can be a dancer. You can be a music engineer. You could do a theater, whatever type of art. Or you could just be a graphic artist, a designer, whatever it is. My goal is to find those children that everybody looked over, like I was looked over in high school. Because, you know, I was looked over. I was an artistic I was an artistic kid, you know.
Right, right.
My strengths were on the stage. My strengths were in drawing, painting, all of that. So with the artsy students, most of the time, people are not expecting a lot from them. But you don't know who you're looking over. You don't know. You could be seeing the next Pharrell in front of you. You could be seeing the next Missy Elliott. You could be seeing the next Wanda Sykes. You could be seeing the next Jay Farrell. You could be seeing the next Timberland. The next Pharrell.
Yeah.
You don't know. So it's very important to focus on those folks and pour into them so they can achieve their goal to become those big entities. You know what I mean?
Man, I love that.
And that's what I do, man. I give scholarships away. It's getting even bigger. You know, we just had the fall ball, you know, and a lot of support. Cliff Hayes came out. Bobby Scott came out. Phil Thornton, he's in the industry as well. You know, I was there and I honored my principal.
Yeah, I saw that. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. That's great.
It's all about giving back. And honestly, bro, I didn't even want to go public with it at first because I've been doing it for 10 years. I've been giving away scholarships.
Oh, really? I had no idea. Had no idea it was 10 years. Wow.
I didn't want to say anything about it because I'm a strong and firm believer in you giving the glory to God and not taking it for yourself.
Love that.
You know, I see people on Instagram who are videotaping themselves, giving stuff to the homeless and all of that. Well, if you videotape it,
right.
Who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for yourself or are you doing it for the people to get praise?
Stealing your blessing, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you want to have the right intentions, man. And, you know, hey, if I videotaped every time I gave away some money, well, my Instagram would be broke because it'd be too many videos.
And so many more people asking you for money.
Exactly, which I'm trying to stop and avoid. My cousins, I had to block some of them. I ain't even lying.
Hey, man, you know, talking about people who get overlooked, our audience is mainly active duty military, veterans and their families. Can you just...
appreciate you all service.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. I was just trying to imagine Eddie Murphy as a drill instructor. I was just trying to imagine. Imagine how it would be.
Left. Right, left, right, left. What you doing, maggot? What the hell? You need to straighten up, maggot. That's right. Drop down and give me 50. Drop down and give me 50. Yes, yes, yes. Now run around. That's right. Run around. That's right. You are fighting. You are fighting for your country. You are fighting for your rights. You are fighting for your freedom. And you could die today, but it's okay. Because we're going to give you a nice little purple heart, and your ass going to be fine. And everybody going to celebrate you. Yes, that's right. And you're going to have what they call, yeah, baby. Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
You're a tremendous. Jay Farrell is his new special Jared on YouTube, man. Thank you so much for taking the time. It's been, I'm just such a huge fan. It's been such a treat.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, my brother. Appreciate you.
We'll be right back here in the National Defense.
David is a real Prevagen user, and this is his story.
Nice to meet you. My name is David. I've been a pharmacist for 44 years, and I'm from Flowery Branch, Georgia. When I first started taking Prevagen, I noticed stuff just seemed to come together and fit like a jigsaw puzzle. When I have customers come in, I recommend Prevagen. Number one, because it's safe and effective, does not require a prescription. And I've been taking it quite a while myself, and I know it works. I wouldn't recommend something like Prevagen if I didn't think it was worth it, because it works so good for me. And I love it when the customers come back in and tell me, David, that really works so good. It makes my day.
Prevagen, at stores everywhere without a prescription. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Testimonialist was compensated for their time.
There are other automakers in Detroit, but there's only one that's built for Detroit. Ford, the motor company that remembers the Motor City who birthed it. The one restoring the old train station. The one that employs more hourly workers in the U.S. than any other automaker. The one that assembles more vehicles in the U.S. than any other manufacturer. The one that supplied PPE to frontline workers in Detroit and assembled ventilators and respirators when the U.S. needed them. The one with a football field in Detroit named after the century-old family-led business started right here in Detroit. Built for Detroit. Built for America. Built Ford proud.
Based on Center for Automotive Research data. Based on IHS Markit CYE 2019 U.S. light vehicle production data. Assembled with U.S. and imported content.
Since 2003, Wounded Warrior Project has helped post 9/11 veterans adjust back to civilian life. Through specialized programs, they begin healing their bodies and minds while regaining a sense of camaraderie. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Hello, this is Steve Keeker, President of Senior Care Consulting. I'm so excited to announce that we are expanding nationwide by awarding Senior Care Consulting franchises. We help our clients find the right senior care community, including assisted living, memory care, long-term care, and continuing care retirement communities. We are not another run-of-the-mill free referral service. We're very different. We offer a placement service with integrity. Owning a senior care consulting franchise offers many benefits. Our market is not affected by the economy. Operate from your home office and enjoy work-life balance. Pour your passion into a business you can be proud of. For more information about owning a senior care consulting franchise, call 833-722-3726, 833-722-3726, or visit seniorcareconsulting.com.
This is your Tech It Out Minute with Mark Saltzman, powered by Intel.
The Nikon Z6III. If you're serious about your pics, this full-frame camera has the latest and greatest technology. Amazing autofocus, up to 6K video recording, and all the benefits of the Nikon Imaging Cloud. Nikon's Chris Ogenek explains.
When you want to offload your photos, you have to take your memory card out, put it into your computer, find your memory card reader, and go through that whole process. With this, once you've connected to the Nikon Imaging Cloud, you can actually set it up to, you get home, you're attached to your Wi-Fi network, and then you let it go.
And then the Nikon Imaging Cloud can send your pics to your other cloud services and update your camera automatically.
Just like you would with your phone. And you always get updates from your phone saying, oh, once you plug me in tonight, we'll automatically update myself. Well, now, through the Nikon Imaging Cloud, you can go and do that as well.
More is at Nikon.com.
That was your Tech It Out Minute, powered by Intel.
Hey, welcome back to the National Defense. It's Randy Miller, and we're so happy to have Colin Jost on the program. He's a head writer at Saturday Night Live, a Weekend Update co-anchor, and a touring stand-up comedian. He has 5 Writers Guild Awards, 2 Peabody Awards, and a PETA Ellie Award for the sketch Diner Lobster, which I just watched again for the 40th time. Colin, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for watching Diner Lobster 49.
Oh my gosh, well, I mean,
that's the right number. That's healthy.
I think so. How about Keenan in there? I mean, when you write stuff for SNL and it comes out like that and is performed like that, I mean, that's got to be over the top for you, right?
I mean, imagine you're Keenan, you know, and you imagine you told a young Keenan, someday you're going to be on SNL and you're going to play a lobster who is also the French musical character Jean Valjean. and you're young Keenan. Do you think, like, I don't know what any of those words are? What are you saying? This is crazy.
I think if you're Keenan, you go,
that's where his life went.
I think if you're Keenan, you go, is Kel going to be with me? That's your first thought.
Yeah, that's right. That's,
you know,
true. That's true.
So Colin has a brand new book out called A Very Punchable Face. It's a memoir. And isn't this really just a cry for help? Isn't this? Aren't you trying to make people feel sorry for you with this book?
I think all memoirs are a cry for help on some level. You know,
I mean, we already felt.
Not listening to you in your real life, so you have to write it all down.
Right.
You know?
We already felt bad for you because you're quarantined with Scarlett Johansson, and now you add this thing in the mix. I mean, the book is hilarious.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm really proud of it. I worked 5 years on it, and I wanted to get it right. And you know, I started out as a writer, obviously, and I wanted to use my writing skills, my writing brain, in another kind of way. And I think it's kind of the purest form of me. And I think you learn a lot about SNL reading it that you wouldn't know, and I've certainly a lot about my life, and I think it's easy. It's like short chapters. I think a lot of fun information. I'm excited about it.
Well, and as you write in the book, some of you think you know me, but you're actually thinking of the villain from an 80s movie who tries to steal the hero's girlfriend by challenging him to a ski race. Now, is this some kind of a precursor to what you will do after SNL? Are you looking at playing villains?
Oh, my God, I should. I got to say that the best villain part I've gotten to play so far was at WrestleMania. Michael Che and I fought in Giant Stadium.
Oh, wow.
During WrestleMania. And I came out, so there's 82,000 people, and I came out in an Odell Beckham Cleveland Browns jersey. The week after he had gotten traded from the Giants. And
oh,
I'm a Giants fan.
Oh, my,
like,
gosh.
Good of a joke. And the boos that you heard, I mean, I was going out. The professional wrestlers before I walked out were like, are you sure you want to do this, man? They have batteries. And I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna go for it. And the level of
batteries
was deafening. It was so fun. It's so thrilling to be a villain. I didn't realize. I mean, I feel like some people have thought of me as a villain for years, but actually embracing it. Play the villain was very satisfying.
We're talking to Colin Jost from Saturday Night Live here on the National Defense. I love what Larry David said about the book. I always wanted to punch his face before I read this book. Now I just want to kick him in the balls. Now, so would that lead to another book called Some Very Kickable Balls? Is that in the works?
Oh my God, yeah, that's great. I don't know if there's a book to get censored, but yeah, let's do it.
I cannot believe that you've been at SNL for about 15 years.
Yes, mostly as a writer, and then before doing Weekend Update. But yeah, I had this whole, that's part of why I wanted to write it too. I wanted people to know about this whole weird world of my life before I was known in any way or before I was on Update, because, you know, I had a real long run, a very fun time at SNL as a writer with no responsibility when I was not being judged constantly on camera. So it was a time that I wanted people to know about.
But now you also described this as a memoir. I thought you had to be like 80 or 85 to write a memoir.
Oh, I am. I just have a lot of stem cells. I've been doing a lot of stem cell therapy.
You know,
I started writing at SNL when I was 70.
Right, right, right. So
I didn't want to write a memoir where I was looking back at the good old days. I wanted to write a memoir that was about the recent, parts of my life, because I wanted them to be still vivid in my mind, and I wanted to have the, you know, be close to my own you know, perspective on it and have, I think I was kind of excited because you don't see that a lot. And I wanted right. to, I wanted to get it while, you know, almost to kind of close this chapter of my life in some way. And, I think there's enough really strange adventures that I've been through till now that, I wanted to get them down.
Yeah, so you talk about in the book, you growing up in a family of firefighters in Staten Island, commuting 3 hours a day to high school, and seeing the sights like watching a Russian woman throw a stroller off the back of a ferry. And you also talk about crapping your pants, which I want to get to because this is something that is key in my life that has happened. And I think this happened in front of your wife. Is that right?
There's probably been moments of that, yes. I think what I wanted to do was to, you know, we all go through this. We all struggle. As my mom said to a younger me, accidents happen. And I think it's good that we have some solidarity and we're able to talk about this and not live in shame anymore.
I've never told the story to anyone outside my family, but we have horses. We live on a ranch, and we went for a very long horseback ride one day, and we came back to the barn, and I could not hold anything back. And so the day ended up with my wife hosing me off in front of a barn, and that's something that, you know, you don't forget that stuff. That stays with you.
No, that builds real textured memories.
Yeah. Hey, Colin, I want to ask
you. Getting hosed down is what a great moment in time, huh?
Well, and it all it takes.
You know, even the horses were looking at you like, man.
Oh,
wow.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, at least we don't wear pants when we do it.
Right. Yeah, and who's going to clean that up? You know, but people. All she has to do now in any kind of a setting is just to say the word hose, and that shuts me down completely from whatever.
What a great trump card. Yeah, that
exactly.
Is
hey, Colin, what about writing in this kind of time that we're in, you know, where the world is just bizarre? Is it tougher to write in a situation where you write something that is as absurd as what's actually going on?
Yeah, it is. I think it's, you know, you always are responding to the times, right? So when times are really tough and strange, I don't know. I guess that tends to be where, you know, where things go. I mean, you think about how, you know, magical realism came out of there being dictators in South America and, you know, people needing kind of an escape beyond what was in front of them. And I think things go to those places sometimes. They go to either an absurd place or something that takes you out of the real world. I remember Lauren talking about Steve Martin. You know, when Steve Martin started as a comedian, he said it was sort of right after Vietnam, and everything was so political for so long
right.
that Steve Martin kind of stuck out and, like, you know, exploded as a stand-up because he was doing really absurd, you know, super funny, like mm-hmm. cerebral but also absurd comedy that had nothing to do with politics. And for people, it was such a relief to get out of that world and get into his comedy. And I think that's, you know, I think that it seems like we might be at a moment in time like that too soon. I'm not sure.
Well, that's just a really good point. And I just asked that question because of especially the political season. We're based in Kansas City, Missouri. And in Kansas, there is a plumber that just ran for the United States Senate. And this plumber, you would see his ads on TV, and he was water skiing, and that's why you should vote for him. And it just struck me that's a lot of people thought that was a parody commercial, and you know, when you see that stuff, you go, how can I top that? How can I, you know?
Yeah, I mean, now every commercial for a product now is so bizarre that you don't even know what it's based on anymore. You know, like there's no like regular commercials. Everything
right.
is crazy, and so you know, there has to be some correction there, and I don't know what it is yet, but. We're going to find out.
Well, the book is hilarious. A Very Punchable Face, Colin Jost, a memoir. Man, it's been just a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for taking the time, and great luck with the book and the rest of your life. Can't wait to see what you do.
Thank you very much. Thanks for taking the time.
We'll be right back here on the National Defense.
my neighbor, invited me to a Wounded Warrior Project event. I didn't know what to expect, but it felt like everyone understood me. We got each other. So I got more involved. I joined support groups with other women warriors, and it helped me realize a new purpose in my life.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
The word never carries a lot of weight. Never forget, never settle, never surrender. And now, Dodge is proud to announce Never Lift, the full-throttle rally cry of stepping on the gas and never letting up. With the 475-horsepower Durango SRT 392 and the muscle car dynamic duo Dodge Charger and Challenger, and the introduction of Dodge Power Brokers, your official dealer for legendary Direct Connection performance parts. For more on the Never Lift mindset, go to Dodge.com. Dodge is rich.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.